Just a thought, brethren, from the book of St. John concerning the Lord Jesus. In St. John chapter 7, at verse 38, it says, "He that believeth on me," that's the Lord Jesus speaking, "as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters, of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Verse 40, "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" Verse 43. So there was a division among the people because of him. Israel always had a problem with the Lord Jesus. There are always divisions among them with connection to the Lord Jesus. Here, it was a division as a result of his person. So there was a division among the people because of him, because of his person, because of his worth. They had said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." But God's answer to that, we find in 1 Corinthians 15, "But he must reign." In chapter 9, of the same St. John, I'm going to read from verse 15, "Taking it for granted, brethren, that we know the story. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And there was a division among them. Here it was a division because of his work. A division because of what he had done. Israel had a problem with the worth of the Lord Jesus, his person. And they also had a problem with his work, what he had done. But the Lord Jesus had declared that what he had come to do was the work of the Father. But Israel had a problem with that. In chapter 10, at verse 19, I must read from verse 16. "And other sheep," the Lord Jesus speaking in, "and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Verse 19, and there was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. There was a division now among them as a result of his word. These three things, brethren, concerning the Lord Jesus, his worth, his work, his word, is what stabilizes us in this scene. But you know, the question might be asked, what is it therefore? How is it? Is it that we are more brilliant, brighter, more informed than the Jews, than Israel? We might ask, how is it and why is it that they had a problem with his worth, his person? Why is it that they had a problem with his work? Why is it they had a problem with his word? And we might look at us today, we might say, but we don't have that problem. But you know, many times we have these problems among us. If you look at the problems among us that has caused divisions, problems among us that have caused individuals to leave, it normally falls under one of these three categories. It is normally as a result of his worth. Where brethren oftentimes have a division concerning who Jesus is. Many times it is a result of his work, what he has done. And many times it is a result of his word, what he says. But that is not so much where I want to focus. Where I want to focus, brethren, is this. What is it, therefore, that causes us to be able to, let me put it this way, not have a problem with the things that Israel had a problem with? And I quickly say this, brethren, that it is not as a result of our intellect, not as a result of our brilliance, not as a result of the fact that we are more informed. No, it is as a result of the Spirit. It is as a result of the Spirit of God. So the Lord Jesus said, he shall glorify me. Speaking of the Spirit, he shall glorify me. He shall teach you all things. And he'll bring things back to your remembrance, things that I have said. And so, we bless the Lord for the Spirit who causes us to hear these things and in measure to understand and to accept and to live within them. It's a wondrous thing, brethren, when there can be unity among us concerning the worth of the Lord Jesus, while Israel had a problem with that. It's a wonderful thing when there can be unity among us concerning the work of the Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful thing, brethren, when there can be unity among us concerning the word of the Lord Jesus. All a result of the Spirit of God who has been given. Paul said concerning another matter, where then is boasting? And he said, it is excluded. It is excluded. It is not as a result of anything about us. It is all a result of the Spirit of God who has been given to us. He lives in the assembly, and he lives in us as individuals. And he's our teacher. You know, concerning his word, we know that God utters his word above his name. And yet Israel had a problem with that. God honors his word above his name. And Israel had a problem with both, as it were. They had a problem with God. They had a problem with his word. So, just these thoughts that come to mind, brethren, that the very thing, these three things concerning the Lord Jesus, his worth, his work, and his word, these three things that divided Israel are the same three things that unites us. All a result of what the Spirit of God has done. May we cherish these thoughts, brethren, these three things. May we endeavor as we go on in this scene to propagate concerning the worth of Christ, the work of Christ, and the word of Christ. May we endeavor, as we are told also, you know, to keep the unity of the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that has brought these things to us and has taught us and has united us together concerning these three things. The very three things that Israel had a problem with. Thank God, because of the Spirit, we can be united concerning these three things. May we cherish them, brethren, and endeavor as we go on in this life, those of us that are older, to teach our younger ones the worth of Christ, the work of Christ, and the word of Christ. Amen.
As Brother Glenn shared with us in John chapter 7, just verse 38, it says, "And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." The scriptures has that effect. And it speaks of the Spirit of God taking the word of God and making it very real to our hearts. And then I thought about the verse in Psalm 19. Psalm 19 and at verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect," referring to the scriptures as well. Because as we know, the law, the ordinances, the commandments, all of these starts, it is referring to the scriptures as well. But verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." So the scriptures are perfect, and we can enjoy them. So it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord," referring to the scriptures again, "the statutes of the Lord are right." It says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Doesn't the word of God has that effect upon us? It rejoices our hearts when we open the scriptures, when the Spirit of God takes the word of God and make it precious to our hearts. The Lord Jesus, when he speaks, he says, "The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life." So when we read the scriptures and the Spirit of God start revealing the scriptures to us, it rejoices our hearts. The psalmist goes on to say, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure. The word of God is pure. It says, enlightening the eyes. Then it goes on to say, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous. That's the word. So it says, the ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous. More to be desired are they than gold. The word of God is so precious. And then we compare it. It is more, even more precious than gold. Gold is valuable, but the word of God is more valuable than the gold. It goes on to say, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Brethren, the word of God is sweet. You know, you sit down at the word and the Spirit of God is taking the word and making it very precious to every heart. And it is flowing. The Spirit of God is bringing these things to us and revealing the truth of God to us. And our hearts are rejoicing and our hearts are bubbling. That's the effect of the word. The word of God is sweet. It says, more to be desired. It says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much more than gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there are great reward. Brethren, when we stay in the word of God, there is reward in doing so. But I also love that verse in Psalm, because I believe that Psalm 107 as well. Because all of this is, the word is referent to even the Lord as well. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. I love Psalm 107 as well, verse 9 says, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. The meditation of the Lord is so sweet. Brethren, may we continue to enjoy his word. These days have been really refreshing, and I trust that we will continue to be encouraged and continue to desire more of God's word so that we might be refreshed and continue our journey here for the Lord. May these thoughts further encourage us for his dear name's sake.
Been richly blessed this weekend as we considered the thought of God, as we considered what was in the heart of God. And I wonder this evening if there's any in this room or on this platform who knows not the Lord Jesus as their Savior. I think this is very important that this message go out so that if you do not know him, there's another opportunity to turn to him. We know that time is short. We know the Lord Jesus is coming soon. We know that if he comes, not if, when he comes, if you have not accepted him as your personal savior, you've heard the good news of salvation, then all hope is lost for you. We know if you've heard the good news of salvation and you die in your sins, you have not accepted him as your personal savior, then all hope is lost. There's not a second chance. The scripture says in Isaiah, it is appointed unto men once to die. Don't think that's the end. You die and that's it. The scripture plainly says, after this is the judgment. We don't know the Lord Jesus as our personal savior. Our judgment has been taken care of because the Lord Jesus was judged for us. So we cannot come into judgment, not of any merit of mine own, but because of God's love. God sent forth his son. The Lord Jesus came into this world for the express purpose of doing the will of God. And the will of God was that men would be brought to the knowledge of himself. This could only be accomplished if the Lord Jesus came. The Lord Jesus came, Philippians 2 tells us, he lived a life which was perfect, which God honored. As a man, everything he did was for the heart of God. He could have declared, my Father loves me because I do that which pleases him. He declared that he's laying down his life for the Father because this is what the Father would have him to do. I dare say the Lord Jesus did everything in a perfect way as man. And he could have returned to heaven without going to Calvary. Because there's nothing that could have kept him from heaven. Because his life was such that God found full pleasure and delight in. But if he had done that, where would we be? What would happen to us? So in order for salvation to come about, the Lord Jesus had to go to Calvary's cross. He had to go into death. In those 3 hours of darkness, when there was a transaction between he and God alone, when he became the sin bearer, when his soul was made an offering for sin, there was a work that needed to be done, and the Lord Jesus was the only one who was able and capable to do it. There's many men who would like to do something, but they're not capable of doing it. With the Lord Jesus, scripture says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus was not only able, but he was capable. And so he went to Calvary's cross. This is something he did freely. He was not forced, he was not coerced. But the love of God was such that it caused him to demonstrate the love of God in going to Calvary's cross. Going to Calvary's cross, he did the work, then he could declare finished. God showed his satisfaction with this work that he did by raising him from the dead. And where he now is, seated above. But blood had to be shed as well. There's no remission without the shedding of blood. And scripture tells us that after he was already dead, after he had declared finished, knowing full well that God was satisfied with everything that he came to do. You know, the Father was not more pleased than when the Lord Jesus went to Calvary's cross because he was doing the Father's will. But then scripture tells us that the soldier would pierce his side and out flowed blood and water. And we are redeemed because of the shedding the blood of the Lord Jesus. You know, you will not, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't accept him as your Savior, you cannot use the excuse that I was born in sin. I had no control over that. I'm a child of Adam. Because God has made provisions for you so that that which affected the entire world when Adam sinned, you have an opportunity this evening, if you are in the hall or you're online, to make a change, to take God at his word. As our brother said, God's word is preferred above his name. And God has made certain declarations that cannot be changed. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But what does Romans chapter 6 say? So he says in Romans chapter 3, he dealt with the fact that all are sinners. So in chapter 3, he says in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That applies to each and every one of us. There's no excuse. No one is without sin. All have sinned based on the word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. But you know, God is such a God of love that he did not leave us into this condition that we can't extricate ourselves from it. So he is the one who made the provisions through his son. And chapter 6. Indicates as well, it says all have sinned. Chapter 6 and verse 23 tells us what the wages of sin is. It's death. It is appointed unto man once to die. But then this lovely thought, but. I think our brother Dave mentioned that fact today in our reading, but. That conjunction. What side of the but are you in on? It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So provisions have been made by God. You can't do it in your own way, because all your righteousnesses are like filthy rags in the sight of God. You cannot meet up to God's standard. God's ways are far higher than our ways. And so he made the provision necessary, but the gift of God is eternal life. What is the gift of God? He sent his only begotten son. And so today this weekend we've been occupying with the thoughts of God for himself. And we who know the Lord Jesus our Savior, what blessings we've been brought into. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you've been listening, you could not enjoy any of that. It's not for you. But you can come in the good and gain of it by accepting the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior. What a wonderful thought it would be. You know, the angels in heaven rejoice when one turns to the Lord Jesus. You know, the Lord Jesus' work was such a wonderful work. It is the only work that brought satisfaction to the heart of God by a man, because it brought pleasure to him, because this man did all for God, no matter the cost. And so this evening, almost the last day, you know, tomorrow might not come, it's not promised to us. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. My question to you, if you know not the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, what are you going to do with Jesus? Are you going to own him as Savior now? Or are you going to own him as judge? You will have no choice in that day. But today, this evening, this moment, you can turn to the Lord Jesus His arms are open wide to accept you. He died for you. He gave himself for you. What is it that will keep you from this? You know, scripture says, hell was not made for man, but for the devil and his angels. Why would you want to go somewhere that was not made for you? But to know God is a just God. And, you know, they say, well, it said God is love. True. Oh, God would never do that. But God is a holy and righteous God. And if you do not accept his gift, there's only one place for you. Let me just say this. Now is the accepted time. You don't know what the next minute might bring. I'm not saying the next day, the next hour, the next minute. Where will you then spend eternity if you don't accept Jesus as your Savior and you pass from life into death? I leave that question for you to make that choice. I would recommend highly that you choose Jesus, that you turn to him as your personal Savior, that you realize you're a sinner, you're lost, you're without hope, you're without God. But God has made the way whereby you can come to him, and it's through his beloved Son. Can you imagine? The Son, the delight of his heart, he sent. Love so amazing, so love so divine. God loves you. He made the provisions for you. Are you willing? Will you accept this provision that has been made for his name's sake?